Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated wherever you are. Now, the fact is, I like birthdays. And I know that I'm supposed to say that I like spending time with my family for my birthday, and of course I do, but I'm also going to say I also kind of like presents. I like receiving birthday presents. It's fun. And in my family, if I'm going to receive a gift, if people in my family are going to give me something, I basically always get one of the same few things. I hope you are all taking notes. But I will usually, if I get a present, I will usually get a book, some form of chocolate. I can hear Bishop Frank right now in his living room saying, amen. Dark French roast coffee, a good Belgian beer. But I thoroughly enjoy receiving gifts. It's fun. Well, today, Pentecost is sometimes been referred to as the birthday of the church. This is the day all those years ago, shortly after Jesus had risen from the grave, ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in power. And they preached the good news of Jesus, and thousands joined the church. And the church, as we know it, was born. And so this is the church's birthday of sorts. And as the church is begun and is filled with the Holy Spirit, we see originating on this day, we see one of the so-called spiritual gifts, gifts of God for his church. And as this event happens, on the church's birthday, if you will, we see enacted one of the spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the church, the gift of tongues. So this morning, on the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came in power, we're going to look together at one of the Spirit's gifts to the church, so-called tongues, as the New Testament calls it. Speaking and praying in tongues is a gift from the Holy Spirit given to the people of God for the mission and edification of the church. This is a spiritual gift from God, and like all spiritual gifts, God does not give it to everyone. The gift of tongues is no more for everyone than the gift of, say, prophecy or administration is. God chooses how he wants to distribute his gifts to his people, and this is one of those that he chooses to give. But one of the challenges in looking at this New Testament gift of tongues is that within the New Testament itself, it uses the same term to describe different occurrences of the same gift. So what I want to do this morning is look at three different forms of the spiritual gift of tongues that we see in the New Testament, and then how this can be applied to our lives today. So three different forms that this gift is shown to come in the New Testament itself. And the first is this. The gift of tongues is speaking in a human language that the speaker does not know. Tongues is a Holy Spirit-empowered speaking in another known language, but one that is unknown to the speaker. So in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, what was just read, and the followers of Jesus that were gathered, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? So the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and they began speaking in tongues, in other human languages that the listeners recognized. The disciples didn't speak these languages, but the Holy Spirit empowered them to do so, and the people heard them in their own native language. So in this instance, tongues is speaking a known human language that the speaker does not know. Now, this doesn't happen often, as far as I know, but it happened on Pentecost, and I know that at least occasionally, it still happens today. So I'll just admit, I tend to be somewhat skeptical of modern-day miracle stories. Not because I don't believe God doesn't do miracles. I absolutely believe that he does, and I'm convinced that he does. But sometimes I'm just personally not altogether convinced of a specific miracle that I've heard about. I certainly don't want to believe something or share something that isn't true. Well, in this instance, I personally know the people involved. So a woman in my church where I was a member for the first 25 years of my life, a woman named Edwina, was on a mission in India. And there was a young Indian man who was paired with her as her translator for the trip. So he went around translating for her, translating the teaching that she was doing and her conversations and such. Now, to say the least, Edwina does not speak any of the many, many languages spoken in India other than English. But at one place on her trip, during a time of worship and prayer, a young man was brought to Edwina to pray for him. This young man had been born blind, and they asked Edwina to pray for him. And so she began to pray in tongues, in her prayer language. More on that in a few minutes. But as she was praying in tongues, she noticed that her translator had a very odd look on his face, and she suddenly realized he must think he's supposed to be translating this. So she stopped and explained to him that she was praying in tongues and that he did not need to translate this. Don't worry about it. And so he asked, "Well, do you know what you're saying?" And she said, "No, I'm praying in tongues. I don't know what it means, but it's a gift from God and a special way for me to pray." And he looked back at her and said, "You're praying praises to God in my native language." This man was from a completely different region in India and spoke an entirely different language that Edwina had never, ever heard. It's not like she picked up some of the words in her travels. This was from a completely different region. This was his native language from a different part of India. So their faith was, to say the least, built up. And so they continued to pray, him in his language, her in tongues, which happened to be the same language, and they prayed for this man that had been born blind, and he was healed and received sight. Now, I have known Edwina my entire life, but that translator later went on to seminary, became an Anglican priest, and he has even shared that experience from his perspective in the church where I grew up, and I personally know his daughter. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, enabled Edwina to speak in a human language that she had literally never heard before. Now, this, of course, is certainly not something that we can control or make happen. But when we're open to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, even speaking words we don't know, God can allow us to be a part of His amazing work. So while we cannot cause an experience like this, we can be open to the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we can see God do amazing things that we get to be a part of. Tongues is speaking in a human language that the speaker does not know. But second, in the New Testament, it also shows that the gift of tongues is speaking specifically in a worship service, a message from God in words given by the Holy Spirit that the speaker does not know or understand. I'm going to say that again because that was rather long. It's speaking, the gift of tongues, speaking in a worship service, words, a message from God in words that they do not understand. So 1 Corinthians 14, 26, Paul writes, "When you come together, each one has a hymn or a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation." Now, not getting into the whole context of what Paul's talking about and what's going on in Corinth and what from his letter is for everyone for all time and what was sort of specific to that church at that time, that's a different conversation for a different time. But clearly, there is an expectation that at least at times in the church, that various words from God will be given to a variety of people, and one form that that message can come is, in this context, as it says, in a tongue. And it appears that those words are not in a known human language, like it was at Pentecost. And there are instructions then given that if anyone doesn't have the gift of interpretation, that the person who was given that message shouldn't then speak it. And it's clearly, the indication is that the person can control whether they say it, but it's also very clearly that it's not necessarily another known human language. If God were to speak to me in this way and I were to speak, I'm not supposed to look around and see if anybody speaks German. It's God's giving someone a gift in order to share a message, and then God would be giving someone else in the congregation the ability to interpret. And so here, the gift of tongues is described as speaking in a worship service words given by the Holy Spirit that the speaker does not know. Now, I do want to be clear that this is not given as the way the church must be done all the time. We don't have to have a time when people with the gift of tongues speak in every church service, but we should have times and situations when at least that could happen. You know, so my church growing up, we would typically have that, if we had it, during our midweek services. Not every time, but sometimes. So we don't have to have a time like that in Holy Cross on Sunday mornings in our services where someone with the gift of tongues speaks directly from the Lord in that way. But we do see here that this is one form of this gift that the Holy Spirit gives, and it should be used in some capacity. And at times, the Holy Spirit speaks and gives some people the gift of speaking in tongues in the context of a worship service in a language that the speaker does not know, gives a message for the church in this way. So that's the second one. The third, we see in the New Testament that the gift of tongues is a tool for private prayer to God in an unknown language that's not even necessarily heard by anyone else. So as it says in just after what we've already seen in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 28, Paul writes, "But if there is no one to interpret what's spoken in tongues, if there's no one there to interpret this message from God, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God." So there's an expectation that praying in tongues is sometimes to be used privately with God and no one else. Paul writes earlier in the same chapter in verse 2, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, and he utters mysteries in the Spirit." So in addition to the scene in Pentecost, when the disciples spoke human earthly languages that they had not learned, in addition to their use in a worship service, in a message from God, the spiritual gift of praying in tongues can be an intimate time of prayer, one-on-one with God. Sometimes people have called this a prayer language, a form of prayer that's a gift from God. That's what my friend Edwina thought she was doing when she was praying for that young man in India who had been born blind. It's what she had been doing for years, but on that day, in that event, it was a Pentecost-type tongues event. But tongues in the New Testament is shown to be a way of intimate prayer with God. Now, with all of that, I just want to take a moment to share some of my personal experience with this gift. So I do pray in tongues sometimes. For me personally, I find it sort of bubbling up in me in two primary times. Not all the time, by any means, but sometimes in these two main instances. And one, for me, has been in times of praise. So I've experienced instances where in praise, sort of the only way to continue to express worship was in tongues. It sort of started bubbling up out of me. I mean, I was in control of myself. I could stop. It wasn't like that. But it felt like things were going to boil over. I would say that's not common for me, but I've had that experience in praise a handful of times. The other for me has been in prayer. Often and especially in praying for someone, I will pray in tongues. And I believe that at those times, God is leading me in prayer in this particular way. I don't do this all the time. I don't feel like I should all the time. But sometimes, especially in prayer for someone else, is when I believe that this gift is experienced in my life. Now, I know that others have had very different experiences, but those are the main ways that that gift has been experienced in my life. This is a gift of the Spirit. It's not for everyone. You are in no way deficient if you do not have this gift. All of us who are in Christ have been gifted by the Holy Spirit in unique ways for His purposes, and we should all seek to identify the gifts that He has given to us who are in Christ, but don't ever believe that you are somehow deficient if you don't have a particular gift. But we should all want everything that the Holy Spirit has for us. If He has gifts for you, imagine if He has gifts for you that you've never opened yourself up to receive. I mean, if He has something for you, you should want it. And if He has something for you, the wider church needs it. So would you be open to what He has for you? Would you ask Him to empower you and show you what gifts He has given you or what gifts He wants to give you for the good of the church and for the world? None of this is about you. It's always about Jesus and His glory. And in His wisdom, He chooses to give gifts to His people for the good of the church and for His mission in the world. So would you be open to what He has for you? Now, this is a bit different when we're physically separated right now, but God can work just as easily in your living room as He can here in the sanctuary. And so to close, I'm going to take a moment and pray and ask God to empower His people with His Spirit. So what I'm going to ask is, if you would just, wherever you are, would you just be willing to just close your eyes and open your hands in a posture of receiving? I don't know what gifts the Holy Spirit has for you, whether you're already using them or if this is totally new for you, but Jesus continues His ministry through His church, and that includes you. And He wants to empower you and gift you for His work that He's called you to do. So would you be open to what He has for you and how He wants to use you? So would you, just in a posture of receiving, would you receive from Him as we pray? So Holy Spirit, come. Move in power in our midst as we're scattered around town and around the country. But Lord, fill us again with Your presence. And I pray especially today that You would increase Your gifts to Your people so that we may serve You and one another as You desire. Would You release Your gifts among Your people for Your glory? Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, as You release Your gifts in Your church, may we faithfully use the gifts that You have given, always pointing to You. So we pray that You would empower us for Your works of ministry, that we would be bold and willing to serve and use the gifts that You have given, that You would release this more and more in our midst, all to the honor and glory of Your name. And so we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.